Really come to worship God today? Oh, let me ask that question one more time. Anybody really came to worship God today? Are you thankful for God being your God? Are you thankful for God being in your life? Are you thankful for God covering you? Are you thankful for God keeping you? Are you thankful for God providing for you? But if you're thankful for God for doing anything in your life, you ought to stand to your feet and give God some praise, because he's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We come to lift up holy hands. We come to worship the Lord. Amen. Glory be to God. Somebody give God some praise in here today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God is so good. Amen. 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 I didn't know we had a new percussionist today. Amen. I was looking for Ted to play the bass guitar. I was like, where is he? And I heard him say, I got it. And I looked back. So I'm sitting down there playing the drums today. Amen. Thank you for being multi-talented, brother. God is good. Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come to you today to say thank you, Master. And we're so thankful for you, first of all, being our God. And we're thankful, Master, that you allowed us to rise this morning in our right minds, and with the faculty of all of our bodies. Everything is in place. Everything is working. We thank you because there are some who woke up this morning, perhaps found themselves in a situation. And perhaps there are those who wanted to get up this morning who didn't. But Master, you woke us up this morning and allowed us to come out to your house of worship. And we pray, Master, that while we're here, that we didn't just come out of obligation. We didn't come to see something, but we came to find you today. And to allow you into our spirits, into our hearts, into our minds. So when we leave here, we'll be better. For none of us are perfect. We're all works in progress. Make us better today. So when we leave here, Master, we'll be better for the kingdom of God. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name. We do now pray. Every heart say amen. Amen. We now have our opening hymn, hymn 371.
Church.
Good morning.
Today's responsive reading will come from the African American hymnal, page 33, titled Mercy. It will be in the Old Testament. Let us read responsibly. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is
Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and people.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God.
Each of you to our church service and to acknowledge any visitors that are here. If you are visiting with us for the first time, please stand. We do not have any visitors today, so we are just one big happy family. We have just a few announcements, and they are all important. Continue to pray for those who are sick. Please pray for the families in Minnesota who were affected by the school shooting. Bible study is Wednesday at 5:30. Happy birthday to George Lee and Creatio Vincent Jr. Happy birthday to this week to Ashley Manley, Anthony Hill, Viv Porterfield, and William Stevenson. Your thought for this week is tomorrow we celebrate Labor Day. Since you don't have to go to work or school, you can't say that you don't have a few minutes to spend with God. Have a great week and happy Labor Day.
Expectation that we're going to stand up and give God the glory. We're going to lift our hands and we're going to worship Him and magnify His name this morning. But this song is personal to me, and if we're all honest, just listening to the words, it can apply to each of us. And so on Friday, as we were rehearsing, Miss Carolyn was telling the story about how the song came about, who wrote it, and how the reason why it was written. But to me, it speaks personally, just the lyrics in general. But the part that speaks to me the most says, all my life, you've been faithful. All my life, God, you have been so, so good to me. So in my response, in return to Him, with every breath, God, that I am able, I will sing of your goodness. Hallelujah. So that should be all of our responses this morning. All we have to do is just say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I bless you. God, I honor you. God, I extol you. God, I make your name real big this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you for your faithfulness. Hallelujah. We're going to sing about the goodness of God. So the part that hits you, just lift your hand up in the air. Just sing the words. However you choose to respond this morning. Hallelujah.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful, yes. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am made, I love your voice,
I love your voice.
You have led me through the fire, through the fire.
In darkest night,
in darkest night, you were close like no other.
I've known you as a father,
you as a father, and I've known you as a friend, the friend. And I have lived in the goodness.
Now this time we're going to sing it like we know it. I love your voice.
I love your voice. You have led me through the fire.
And in darkest night,
darkest night, you are close. You are close like no other.
I've known him as a father,
you as a father,
and I've known you as a friend,
you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God.
Now come on and remind yourself that all my life, you have been
faithful.
Come on and just open your mouth and say, all my life you've been faithful, God, and I'm thankful, I'm grateful, because he didn't have to do it, but he did. All my life you've been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness
of God. Now come on and give him something for his faithfulness. Hallelujah.
God is so good that we can't even find the words to express just how good he is. And when we have the opportunity to enter into praise and worship with him, we should take full advantage of that. Because God looks for his people to praise and to worship him. Praise and worship is an intimate time that you get to spend with God, even if you're in a crowd of people. I want you to know that when you're in praise and worship unto God, you're all by yourself. Because you're in the space where it's just you and God. And you can share with God every issue that you have in life. And God would hear you and he would answer your every cry. Somebody give God some praise in here today. Amen. That song put me in a mood of praise and worship. If you don't know anything about your pastor, learn this. I love to praise and worship God. I love to have intimate time with God because I can't hide anything from him anyway. So I may as well go ahead and share with him my deepest, darkest secrets. Amen? Because he already knows them. But it feels good to be able to talk to him about those things. Amen? Amen. Let us bow our heads. Father God, we come to you this morning to say thank you, Master. Thank you for allowing us to get into that space where we can open up our hands and bend our knees and lift our eyes up to see you. And when we're in such a position, Master, we pray that everything that's about us is transparent. Because if there's anything that's in us that's not like you, we don't want to carry it on until the next day. We don't want to carry it on until the next minute. We don't want to carry that thing on until the next second. We want you to go ahead and make us better. And Master, we know that you can do just that. You are a God who doesn't have to wait on situations. You don't have to wait on things to get better. You have to wait on things to look right, smell right, talk right, walk right, look right. You are God who can make changes right now. Amen. Master, change us. Where we are weak, give us strength. Where we are lacking knowledge, give us knowledge. Where we are lacking understanding, give us understanding. Where our courage is weak, give us courage. And Master, where our faith may be failing us, give us faith the size of the grain of mustard seed so that we can be better for the kingdom of God, so we can stand on the battlefield as soldiers of yours. Reassured that you are our God. Reassured that you are our leader. Reassured that you will carry us through every storm, trial, and situation. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name. We do now pray that our hearts say amen. Amen. We ask now that the officers will come for the purpose of tithing and offering.
Thank you.
bow. Father God, we come now to say thank you, Master, for these gifts that have been given here today. And we pray, Master, that we use them to uplift and edify your kingdom. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. Let all hearts say amen. Amen.
Father, Son,
give our combined choir hand clap of praise. This is their first time together. Amen. Amen. Got our babies up there and our elders. Amen. God is good. Amen. And family that prays together does what?
Stays
together. Amen. God is an awesome God. I've got a brief announcement for choir members, musicians, and musicians. Please meet with the moderator in the fellowship hall after service. She has a treat for you. Amen. God is good. Amen. Amen. Y'all got so quiet. God is good.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. I didn't say that so you'd get quiet. Amen. Oh, you couldn't hear me? Oh. The moderator wants to treat you guys after service. So when you finish, don't leave the church. Go to the fellowship hall. Amen? Did you get that? Amen. Did y'all get that? Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Father God, we come now to say thank you, Master, for this opportunity to stand yet before your people. And we know, Master, that it's not this preacher that has power, but it's you that has power. The wisdom that I have come from you. The words that I will speak come from you. I am nothing without you. We're all just filthy rags trying to make it to heaven. And Master, we pray now that you lower me down in your storehouse of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and power. So when I speak, it would be not me that's speaking, but it be you speaking to your people. We ask now on these blessings in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. Let every heart say amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Should not be hard to find at the very first book in the Bible. Very first verse. In the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 1. And we'll read verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just for a few moments, I would like to talk with you, and this will be end up in a series of preaching. I would like to talk with you about the sovereignty of God. God's sovereignty. And my proposition for you today is there is no greater, there is none greater than God. Let me say that one more time. There is none greater than God. In this sermon, we look to bring clarity to two questions. Who is God? And where did he come from? Now, for us to answer these questions, we will find that our faith will be called into question. Your faith will be tested.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the Bible is a book of faith. And when it opens in verse 1, it immediately tests your faith. Because we must understand, without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Amen.
And also, without faith, it is impossible to be a Christian.
Right.
Let me say that one more time for those of us who think that we're Christians, but we don't have faith. Without faith, it is impossible to be a Christian. I remember when I was a little boy, I once heard a preacher say there was a lot of wet sinners in the church. And when I was young, I was trying to figure out what he was talking about. He was talking about those who went through the waters, but still yet had no faith. Without faith, you can't be a Christian. And because of this, we want to make sure that you have some faith. So we will talk about the benefits of God's sovereignty. We want you to know it's a good thing to be a Christian. You know, a lot of times nowadays, it's not good if it ain't cool. Children change their whole life because things not cool. The sad thing about it, grown folks, we're the same way. All right. If things don't benefit us, or if we can't make things fit within our life, then we don't want to do it. But you must understand, God don't fit in your life. You must fit in what God has for you to fit in.
Amen.
I'm already going there before I get there. Some of us believe that we can pull God down and make God fit the way we want him to fit. I want you to know that God is sovereign. You can't make God fit anywhere. But what God can do is make you fit. We have to understand that God is sovereign. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. And if God is all-powerful and if God is all-knowing, God doesn't need us for anything. And we don't have power to put God anywhere. But what we have is the power to praise and worship our God. Somebody give God some praise in here. The definition of God's sovereignty is he is the ultimate authority and ruler over all creation with supreme power and control. What does ultimate authority mean? It means the highest, most fundamental source of power, control, or guidance from which all other, listen to this, decisions and information are derived and to which all other authorities are subordinate. Every decision that you think you're making, God made that decision for you. Every power, a little bit of power you think you have, God gave that little power to you. Amen. Without God's power, you wouldn't have that little power that you have. I once heard a theologian say that God is so involved in your life that when you play Uno with someone, when you pull a certain Uno card, God told you to pull that card. I thought that was neat because some of us, we play some mean Uno. Folks get mad about Uno, want to fight you. It's kind of like when people in the hood play Tonk. Yeah, I'm going down there by the street today. Or play spades. When you make your decision, that decision you think is one that you made on your own, I want you to know that God is so sovereign. That's God's decision that's being made. He's the ultimate authority. Not only is he the ultimate authority, but he is the supreme power and control. This references his sovereignty. It says that he's the absolute, ultimate, and unquestionable authority within a given territory or domain, such that no higher, listen to this, no higher power or authority exists to challenge him. Did y'all hear that? Thank you, baby.
Amen.
Out of the mouths of babes. Don't tell her to be quiet. I need her to talk to me because y'all ain't talking to me. Talk to me, baby. Keep on talking. God can't be questioned because there is no one higher than him. And as a matter of fact, there is nothing that's on God's level. Did you hear me? There's nothing that's on God's level. He's the only one that's on his level. Thank you, baby. He He's the only one who has all power. He's the only true power. He's the only one that can do what he do.
Amen.
He's the only one that sits where he sits. He's the only one that can talk the talk that he talks. Because when God declare it, the Bible says he's not a man that he should lie. When God declare it, it shall come true. So I ask you again, do you really know who he is? And I have to ask that question because when I think about how we do things, it makes me wonder, do we really believe that he is the supreme being? The way that we interact with each other and the way that we carry ourselves makes me question, do we really know who he is? Do we really know that he is the ultimate and there is no one else? Because if we believe that, then why do we do the things that we do? Why do we respond the way we respond? Why do we act the way we act? Because if we believe that God is sovereign and everything is done through God, then we ought to know that if God has done it, then we are in a good place.
Amen.
No matter how bad it looks, you're in a good place. Because you belong to the ultimate power. Paul says it like this. Paul says that he is the beginning of all things. In Colossians 1 and 17, he says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, I'm about to mess some people up. Because Paul says that he was what? Before all things. So if God was before all things, the question is, then where did God come from? He's all powerful and none can sit with him and none has his power. Then if God is all of that, then where does he come from? When we look at this question and we look at the God in the Bible, we find that the God in the Bible is not affected by some things that we are affected by. God is not affected by time, space, or matter. See, in order for there to be life, the life that we know it, there must be time, there must be space, and there must be matter. And they must all exist together in order for there to be life. If we have any scientists in here today, they would attest to what I'm saying, because without one of those three things, you don't have life. But with all three of those things, you must have life. And our God does not have any. God does not operate in time, space, or matter. God operates outside of time, space, and matter. Genesis 1 and 1 said this. It says that in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. In the beginning, time created heaven, space, and earth, matter. But because God is the creator of these things, he has to be able to operate outside of these things. So God don't operate in the life that you and I operate in. He doesn't operate like you and I operate. So God doesn't come from what you and I come from.
Right.
He doesn't come from time, space, and matter. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that God is a spirit. He's a spirit, does not have a beginning. He don't have a present. He doesn't have an end. God is all existing in all times at all times. Lord have mercy. Someone who exists in all times at all times can't have time, space, and matter, because then you'll be limited where you can only operate in a certain place. But God don't operate in a certain place because he's outside of time, space, and matter. Am I helping somebody today? I know I'm going a little deep, but I was teaching this in the Bible study. Somebody said, you got to preach this, Reverend. And they didn't know I was already toiling with preaching it anyway. But God always sends you a confirmation. Amen.
God does not operate in time, space, and matter. God is self-existent, he's self-sustaining, and he's the progenitor of all life. So if God is self-existing, self-sustaining, and he's the progenitor of all life, then where does God come from?
Remember, I told you in the beginning that this whole thing is going to question your faith. Mm-hmm. It's going to test your faith. But here's the test of your faith. God comes from himself. Let me say that one more time so it can soak in. God comes from himself. He's self-existent. He has no beginning. He has no end. God comes from God. Somebody ought to give God some praise. This is why when Moses questioned him in Genesis 3, when Moses said, when I go to the people of Israel and tell them that you sent me to save them, who shall I say sent me? God responded with one thing. He says, I am that I am. He said, when you go before my people to deliver them and they question who sent you to deliver me, tell them I am sent you. This statement gives proof that God is the absolute and pure existent of all things. He didn't say I will become. He didn't say I am going to be. He didn't say I was. He simply said I am, which means I am self-existent. I have no beginning and I have no end. Now let me help you understand something. There's a part of you that has no beginning, that has no end. It's called your soul. Your soul is divine. That's why it says that your soul cries to go back home. Your soul does not have a beginning. Your soul does not have an ending. That's why when you die, your soul goes back to be with God. The Bible says your soul goes home. It goes back to where it came from. Now your body returns to the earth. But your soul goes back to heaven. It goes back to God. Now, heaven is where you came from. If you want to know, we have a premortal life. If you want to know more about that, come to Bible study. But God is self-existent. And because God is sovereign, we have benefits when we believe in God. One thing that we have when we start believing in God and understanding and living according to his sovereignty and not our own is we develop a relationship with God that's called a covenant relationship. A covenant relationship is a binding contract that's strong, that's between two parties. This binding contract is an everlasting contract. When you believe in God's sovereignty, and not that God just exists, because I'm going to tell you now, some of us believe just God exists. Satan believes God exists.
Amen.
I'm pulling my glasses up when I say that. Some of us think that we're okay just because we believe that he exists. Satan believes that he exists. So if that's all you have, you're at the level of the enemy. You are just like Satan. That might be why some of us act the way we act. I know I stepped on my toes when I said that. Some of us just believe that he's God, and some of us just believe that he's the Almighty, but we don't trust that he is.
Yeah.
We don't have faith that he is. Yeah. We just believe it. Believing it ain't faith.
True.
Yeah, I'm teaching in here today. Yes, you are. You come and hear me holler at you today, it ain't gonna. It's not gonna happen. Just believing is not faith. Faith is being able to believe in that which you cannot see, and know that what you cannot see will give you hope for tomorrow. Because your hope for tomorrow is that that same faith that you have today will operate the same way tomorrow. Satan don't believe that God can do what God said he can do. That's why he questioned Jesus and told Jesus, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. And God said he'll send 10,000 angels to save you. And then Jesus replied, what? Come to Bible study, we'll talk about it. A covenant relationship will be built that's strong and cannot be broken. Abraham had a covenant relationship with God. Amen. In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, the Bible says that God spoke unto Abraham, whose family did not know God, who did not worship God, who did not serve God. God spoke to him and said, leave your people and go to a foreign land. And if you go to this foreign land, I will deliver you and I will bless you. How many of us willing to leave where we are, our comfortable place? When God speaks to us and tells us to do the unthinkable, he traveled over hundreds of miles. He first went to Turkey, then from Turkey down to Canaan, and settled eventually in Jerusalem. Took his whole family without questioning God. How many of us are willing to do that? See, I told you, your faith is about to be tested. Sometimes when you're going through things in life, guess what? Your faith is being tested. Your faith is being tested. And see, if you believe that God is sovereign, if you believe that God is who he said he is, if you believe that God sits on high, and that there is no other. Ask yourself, when you find yourself in situations, do you believe? Or does fear come into your life? Do you begin to run and act out of character? Do you begin to do things that you wouldn't normally do? Well, if that's you, you got a faith problem.
My Lord.
But guess what? There's nothing wrong with you having a faith problem as long as you learn from the lesson.
Amen.
Because a lot of us have faith problems on occasion. Because the higher you go, the bigger the devil.
Amen.
The higher you go, the stronger the storm. The better you become, the more enemies the enemy sends. But if you have a covenant relationship, you got to know that God will also give you peace. Anybody here following me today? God's sovereignty gives us peace because even in chaos, we realize that God has a plan. Even in our storms, we understand that there is a plan. Even when things don't look right, we understand because God is sovereign. God did not leave us out here by ourselves. God must be up to something. Me and my wife were talking one day. I said, I feel something coming. I feel a blessing coming. Because the enemy is trying to press us in a certain area of our life. And because he's trying to press us, I understand how God operates. The pressing is to make me better. Y'all don't hear me.
Yeah.
The pressing is to make you better. You don't get diamonds without pressure.
That's right.
Huh? It takes thousands of years for the earth to press on coal, which is a dark, useless, poisonous stone.
But by the time God gets through pressing on it, it turns into a diamond. All I'm trying to tell you, if you understand that God is sovereign, God will turn you into a diamond. Somebody ought to give God some praise. So because of that, you should have peace in your life, knowing that God sits on high and makes every decision. Nothing happens in your life without God being involved. Let me give you a quick example. Moses ended up where he was because of a trial. Pharaoh says that there's a king in Jerusalem that threatens my throne. So I want to have all the newborns who were born this year killed. So God, being who God is, God took that situation and dethroned Pharaoh out of the trial he gave Moses. I just said to you that God in your trial will dethrone your enemy. Moses' mother hid Moses for 3 months and then decided that she was going to put him in a basket and have his sister to put him on a river and push him down the river. Just so happens that the Pharaoh's daughter couldn't have children. And on the day, just so happened when Moses' sister was out there and pushed him down the river, just so happened she was standing on the riverbank where she was washing and her servants was washing, and somehow Moses floated right to her. She took Moses as her own child, raised Moses up as an Egyptian, taught him the Egyptian way. He became a leader amongst the Egyptians, and then God took him back to where he belonged. And because he found out where he truly belonged, Moses overthrew Pharaoh and destroyed Pharaoh, all because Pharaoh had this evil plan, but God had the best plan. If you believe that God is sovereign, because Moses found out that God was sovereign, Moses went and kneeled before God. And God told Moses, take the shoes off your feet, for this is holy ground that you're standing on. And Moses said, I want to see you. And God said, don't look at me. Just look at me as I pass by. Watch my shadow. Because if you look at me, you would die. Yeah. My Lord Jesus. Moses understood that God was sovereign. Yeah. My last thing, and I'm going home. My wife is pulling on her ear. Baby, I knew I was going to be a little long with this one. He will give you strength and resilience. Did you hear me? If you believe that God is sovereign, if your faith understands that God is sovereign and nothing happens in your life without God being involved, the Bible says that God will give you strength and he will give you resilience. If you don't believe me, look at Isaiah 41 and 10. Isaiah 41 and 10 says this, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Somebody better give God some praise. Because if you believe God just told you that he can do everything you need for him to do, because in his right hand is his delivering power. Let's walk through the pages just for a quick second here. For Joshua, he stopped the world from spinning. Y'all didn't hear me. I said he stopped the world from spinning. Do you not know that the world spins over 1,000 miles a minute? And God stopped it. Everything stayed in place. Somebody ought to give God some praise. He built an invisible bridge for Elijah and Enoch, which means they didn't die. They walked right off into heaven. Somebody better give God some praise in here. When a young man was dead in his coffin, being taken to his grave, but his mother weak. So when Jesus saw her, he had compassion on her. And he took his right hand and put it on the casket. And the Bible's telling me that the young man got up. Somebody better give God some praise. God can do all things, but fellas, even with Jairus' daughter, he put his right hand on her. And the Bible told me she got up. And then when he didn't put his right hand on someone, he called them out of his righteousness. When he got to Lazarus' grave, the Bible said he called Lazarus by his name. He said, Lazarus, get up. Lazarus, get up. He called him one more time. Lazarus, get up. You better put your name there, because one day he's going to call your name and tell you to get up. Get up. Get up. And because he is sovereign, you will get up. Somebody give God some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The doors of my Father's house are now open. If there would be one who does not know God and the free pardons of your sins, and you want to join this church, come now to the altar. Come up front so I can give you the right hand of fellowship. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Man, God is so awesome. Amen. Man, every time I think God can't get any better, he shows me that he can. Uh-huh. Amen. Amen. I'm so messed up, I don't even know what to do next. I think we had a benediction next, right? Amen. Let us bow our heads. Father God, we come to you to say thank you, Master. We're so overwhelmed with joy. We're so overwhelmed with your peace and your love. And we thank you for that, Master. And as we prepare to leave this place, we pray that your love goes with us. Your peace goes with us. Your joy goes with us. So that when we return back to this church where you have chosen to place your name, that we can give a praise report of just how good you've been. Even if we find ourselves in the midst of a storm, I pray that we can see the light in that storm, because that light in that storm is you. We pray now for these blessings in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name. We do now pray. Let all God's children now sing.